Let's just look at this a bit. Proverbs chapter 15. I hope some are not scared that we are starting the teaching from Proverbs. Not Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians, Amenians, Nigerians. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are we there? Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13. It says, a merry heart makes a joyful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Did you see that? A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Hallelujah. Now, the word merry there in the Hebrew is the word, how do I pronounce this now? Somayak. Something like that. Somayak is S-A-M-E-A-C-H. S-A-M-E-A-C-H. Somayak. That's the word merry. It means, or it would suggest, glad. Hallelujah. Joyful. Gleeful. Glad. Joyful. Gleeful. Okay? Did you get that? So, when a heart is glad, it would show in the countenance. Did you see that? It would affect the countenance. Just like the Bible puts it in Romans chapter 10 verse 9. It says, with the heart a man believes unto righteousness, right? And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is, what is seen in a man's heart will become evident in his exterior. Did you get that? Whatever is present in a man's heart would be present in his mouth, would be present in his conduct. Quickly, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Are we there? It says, brood of vipers. Hallelujah. It says, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Do you see that? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Hallelujah. Say, the word is my reality. The word is my reality. The word tells me who I am and what I can do. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Do you see that again? So, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth would speak. Okay? That is, whatever is in your heart would eventually end up in your activities. Do you see that? Hello? Are we together? Do you see that? For example, you know, there are people who copy other people's confessions of faith. You know, somebody says, I can never be sick. Okay? Someone says, I can never be sick. I can never be sick. God's power works in my body. God has given me authority over sicknesses and diseases. I can never be sick. Then another brother hears what he's saying and then adopts it as his confession, without any basis of faith, you know, without any foundation, without having been convinced about it in his heart, and then he keeps saying it, I will never be sick, 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 keep saying that. Then, before you know what happens, he's down with malaria. Amen? Amen. And then, when he's down with malaria, he now starts saying things like, let's be realistic. Amen? You know, let's be realistic, Jare, let's take drugs. Amen? Now, the same person who was saying, I can never be sick, I can never be sick. Do you know why his confessions changed immediately? Because there was no conviction in his heart. Do you understand? What he was saying was not in his heart. He was copying the confessions of another person. So when the circumstances of life, you know, came and faced him in the, looked him in the face, he went down on his back. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? So, when it comes to the heart, whatever is present in the heart would eventually show up. Hallelujah. So can we say that if your heart is merry, it will show? Can we say if your heart is glad, it will show? Right? Okay. Proverbs chapter 17. Please follow closely. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Hallelujah. It says, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken heart dries the bones. Amen? And don't forget that a glad heart translates to the countenance. Okay? A merry heart translates to the countenance. So if the countenance is not cheerful, then we can as well say that the heart is not cheerful. Okay? Do you get that? Now, here it says that a merry heart does good like medicine. Say, a merry heart does good. A merry heart does good. Hallelujah. So if a merry heart does good, then I think we should explore it some bit, right? Okay. First Kings chapter 4. Please follow closely. First Kings chapter 4, verse 20. First Kings chapter 4, verse 20. Are we there? Hallelujah. Amen. It says, Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand by the sea, in multitude, eating and drinking and rejoicing. Okay? So there is a responsibility with man to make merry. There is a responsibility with man to rejoice. Okay? Not necessarily now taking a stand and waiting for something external to cause you to laugh or rejoice. Okay? Although that's possible too, like we'll see as we go on. But rejoicing is with man. Hallelujah. So you see that they were rejoicing and making merry. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 10. Hallelujah. Are we there? It says, on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away to their tents, joyful and glad of heart, for the good that the Lord had done for David, for Solomon, and for his people Israel. Okay? So the Lord showed goodness to David and the people, and it caused them to be merry and glad in heart. Amen? So the goodness of God to his people can cause them to be merry and glad in heart. Do you see that? Jeremiah. I hope nobody is scared that we are not in the usual terrain. Amen? Only a few will get that. Oh, well, looking at us, okay, most of us should get that. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17. Hallelujah. Are we together? Hey, look at me, look at me. Look at me. Stop frowning too much. Okay? Relax. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Relax. Look to your neighbor, say relax. Say calm down. Amen. And let's learn God's word together. Amen. No, because I know some people, when they come to Christian meetings, they are, what's going to happen? Calm down. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we together? Are we following? Okay. Now, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17. Are we there? It says, for I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. Because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, no one seeks her. Do you see that? Now, verse 18. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring back the captivity of Jacob's tent and have mercy on his dwelling places. The city shall be built upon its own mould, and the palace shall remain according to its own plan. Then out of them shall proceed, hallelujah, thanksgiving and the voice of those who make merry. Hallelujah. Praise God. I will multiply them. Hallelujah. Praise God, and they shall not diminish. I will glorify them, and they shall not be small. Now, if you look at all of these, and what you are seeing is tent, Israel, you know, city being rebuilt, then you don't understand how the scriptures work. Do you know that the essence of the scriptures points to Jesus? Do you know that? So when we go to the Old Testament and we see things like this, we can say that these are searchings, right? Or inquiries into salvation, right? Are we together? So when he says, I will restore health to you, obviously, it cannot be talking about something physical. Right? Because in the scriptures, like we will see at, in the next session, sin is usually depicted as sickness. And forgiveness of sin is depicted as health. Okay? In the scriptures. So when he says, I will restore health to you, that is referring to forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Praise God. So this is a prophecy of our time. Hallelujah. Praise God. And in Christ reality, the health that is spiritual, which is forgiveness of our sins. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And then verse 19 says that out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of those who make merry. Hallelujah. So when God forgives our sins, there will be joy. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you see that now? Now, when he says, I will. Now, you see, he says, I will bring back. I will, I will, I will, I will. Now, this takes us back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. When God spoke about salvation in a figure. And then let's turn there so that I'm not quoting. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Hallelujah. It says, and I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Do you see that? So this is referring to God's plan in salvation. Man had sinned, and God makes a promise of salvation. Are we together? Are we together? Okay. Now, from this point on, when you see I will would refer to this initial promise of redemption. Okay? So the fulfillment of what God would do in different figures and shapes, but the same promise. Okay? Are we together? Now, it would be a redemption plan. Hallelujah. So in Jeremiah chapter 30, God says that after I have caused health to come to them, there will be thanksgiving and merry and gladness. So when you see the people whose sins are forgiven, they will be joyful. And they will not be sad. Are we together? Are you following? We are going somewhere. Now, remember 1 Kings chapter 4 verse 20, right? So, you would hear their voice. And when you hear their voice, it would sound like those who are making merry. Those who are eating, drinking, and just having fun. Hallelujah. Amen. So, a prophecy, right? Right. Amen. Their hearts will be glad. And by extension, their countenance will also be glad. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, Jeremiah chapter 31. Just the next chapter after what we just read. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 4. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. It says, again, I will. Hallelujah. I will build you and you shall be rebuilt. Hallelujah. O virgin of Israel. Now, I hope you are not seeing Israel. Right? 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 You know, the veil is not in our face anymore, right? We know that these are prophecies concerning Jesus, right? Okay. You shall be adorned with your tambourines and shall go forth in dances of those who rejoice. Do you see that? So here he had dancing. Okay. He introduces dancing. So a little recap. For those who are merry, they will be merry in heart and to show in their voice and their countenance, right? Right. Then they would go forth in the dancing of those that make merry. Do we understand so far? Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19. Hallelujah. Are we there? It says, a feast is made for laughter, and wine makes merry, but money answers everything. Hallelujah. Very popular verse. So, it lets us know, alright, that when a man takes wine, something happens to him. Do you see that? Hello, do you see that? Are we together? Okay. It says, when a man takes wine, something happens to him, right? Now, you would observe that his disposition towards life will change. Something will just change in his character, because you know, wine has an intoxicating effect, right? So when a man takes of wine, let's say he's someone who is sad, someone who is thinking about something bad has happened and all of that. The wine will go into his system and disrupt his thought process and he will just be happy. Are we together? Why are you laughing? Have you seen that before? Or has that happened to you before? Amen. So, you know, the wine goes to his thought process. You know, it stops some neurological functions from going. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I think that is fair enough. Amen. So, yeah, he says that a feast is made for laughter. Amen. Amen. A feast is made for laughter. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, why would you have a feast and you'll be sad? Amen. Why would you have a feast and your face would just be frowning? Your face would just be... Okay, do you know that if in taking wine, imagine if you took wine and you got more sad. Okay? Imagine if you took wine and all the bad things that happened to you in life just comes back times 10. Would you take it? Oh, no, I know nobody here takes wine. I hope. Okay, so they that take wine, you know, they take, somebody goes to the beer parlor and, you know, is owing rent for 10 months. I mean, how do you say it now? River people, how do you say it? Fool me what? Fool me? Monty, everybody book on it. Amen. Hallelujah. And he says, give me 10 bottles of, no alcohol, and then it takes 1, 2, 3, then 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then, you know, immediately he does that, he now remembers the mob that, I'm owing rent. Will he take it again? So the reason why people take wine is because it has an intoxicating effect, right? So when you take it, it numbs your senses. It makes you not remember what's going on at the moment, right? At the present. So wine does something. Now, some people are wondering, why are you talking about wine? Just follow. Amen. Hallelujah. So wine does something to man's perception of things. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, you know, for the man who takes 10 bottles and he forgets about his sorrow for that time anyways, do you know, the issue has not changed. Right? You know, the problem has not changed. When he gets back to his house, landlord will still chase him out of the house. Amen. But at that moment, something has happened to him. Okay? Just follow. Psalm 126. Hallelujah. Verse 1. Hallelujah. Are we there? So he says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we're like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us and we were glad. So by their laughter or their countenance, remember, right? The people saw what was going on. And they knew that something had happened to these people. Okay? So they acknowledged what the Lord had done for them to be great. And in their mind, they thought on what he had done, and it caused them to be glad. Hallelujah. And their gladness was earlier defined. You know, we see it there in verse 2. It says, their mouth was filled with what? Laughter. Hallelujah. Now, you can't say that this is joy in the heart. Right? Because there was an external evidence of what was going on. Right? You know, some people say, I have joy. But their own joy is like this. Amen? Their joy is like this. You know, they think what the joy of the Lord is just to come to church. Everywhere is quiet, you know. The keyboard is playing softly. There's a background just... What is those songs they used to sing? I can't remember again. You know, everyone is just so lame, you know. That's joy. He says their mouth was what? Filled with what? Laughter. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, with joy, permit me to say this. With joy comes disorderliness. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? So, with joy comes what? This orderliness. You are not allowed to be orderly when you are full of joy. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So there is no way you say you are full of joy and it won't be obvious. Right? Right? Amen. Imagine, you know, you just get an alert on your phone right now. As we are sitting, your phone just vibrates and then you see a credit alert. $20 billion. Some people will throw their phone. Yo! Yeah. They will never wait for the meeting to be over. They will fling their phones and run out. Hallelujah. Would you see that and just say, oh, hallelujah. And then you keep it on your pocket. Hallelujah. God is good. Yeah. You know, this is the goodness of God. Is that what you would do? What is joy? Hallelujah. Praise God. So joy is evident in the countenance of the person that is full of joy. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Praise God. Filled with laughter. Hallelujah. Filled with laughter. Amen. Psalm chapter 2. Don't worry. For those who are used to the epistles, we'll get there soon. I hope you're not angry or sad. Hallelujah. Amen. Those people that say it's not Old Testament, it's Middle Testament. Amen. Psalm chapter 2 verse 1. Are we there? It says, why do the nations rage? Now I want you to pay very close attention to this, okay? It says, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bones in pieces and cast their cords from us. Now verse 4, let's read together. 1, 2, go. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Now, obviously, the derision here that we see in verse 4, please look at this. In verse 4, is because he's laughing. Do you see that? Hello? Do you see that? Now, because looking at the antecedent text, that's verse 1 to 3, it lets you know that some nations are coming against the Lord, you know, they are coming against him to fight against the Lord. So they are coming, you know, they want to do something against the Lord and his anointed. Okay? Now, what is the Lord's response to what they want to do? He doesn't say, hey, Michael, call the squadron. Or, Gabriel. No, that one needs to send messages. No, he doesn't have power. Yo, Michael. Yeah. 10,000 angels. Yeah. Go and fight for me. Is that what he does? Hello. Is that what he does? What does he do? He laughs. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, he doesn't laugh and then do something. Do you see that? It's not that he's laughing and then saying, like when some people will laugh. Some people should laugh like that. Don't know you're in trouble. Remember back then when you come back, you go to school with your parents and they look at your results from school, you know, your report card in primary school, they look at you and they don't, and then they just laugh, and then you are in the car, you're quiet, you know what is waiting for you when you get back home. Hallelujah. Now, it's not that, you know, now your parents will laugh and then they will do something, right? Now, when it comes to God, God doesn't laugh and then he does something. Okay? His laughter is his response to what is coming against him. Follow. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, verse 4, look at that. Now, the colon there, when after laugh, lets you know that this is what the laugh, remember, colons are to further explain now. You know that in basic English. So the colon there is to let you know that this is what the laughter will do. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, verse 5, it says, then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep pleasure. Now, the word then here can throw you off balance because you might think that, okay, he's laughing like our parents. Then after he laughs at your report card, then he will flog you when you get to know. The word then in the Hebrew is the word, how do I pronounce this now? House. Easy. House. Easy. Not house. So house. Easy. It means at that time. Glory to God. At that time, from that very instance, do you see that? So it's not referring to a future event. Amen. Look at Jeremiah chapter 44. Put your hand there. We're coming back. Jeremiah chapter 44. Let's see how it's used there. Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 18. Hallelujah. It says, But since we stopped burning incense to the Queen of the Heavens and pouring out drink offering to her, we have lacked nothing and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. So the word since there is the same word house. That is, from that very time, do you see that? That we stopped burning incense, then this happened. So it is a word used to show consequences. Okay? It's a word used to teach consequence. So back to Psalm 2 now. Back to Psalm 2. So we can read it this way. He who sits in the heavens, verse 4. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. In that very moment, do you see that? He shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. So the Lord is not doing anything but to laugh. Do you see that? Hello? Do you see that? He is not doing anything but to laugh. Now, it is his laughter that would distress them. Hallelujah. So he that sits in the heavens simply laughs. Psalm 110 verse 1. Now it says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Now, in case you are wondering, it's not saying, you know, sit down, then I'm coming, I'll go and make your enemies your footstool. Just sit, wait for me. I'm coming to go and make, just sit down here, don't worry, I'm coming. That's not what he's saying, you know. He's sitting, is actually making his enemies his footstool. Do you get that? It is sitting that makes his enemies his footstool. Now, Hebrews chapter 1. Let's go there quickly. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8. Hallelujah. Are we following so far? Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8. He says, but to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all grow whole like a garment. Like a cloak, you will fold them up and they will be changed, but you are the same and your years will not fail. Now verse 13. But to which of the angel did he ever say, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation? So Hebrews chapter 1 lets us know that the Lord who is seated is Jesus Christ. Do you see that? The Lord who is seated is Jesus Christ. Now, knowing this helps us realize something, that Psalm 2 and Psalm 110 that we just looked at right now are prophecies concerning the Christ. Okay? They are prophecies concerning the Christ. So, it is the Christ who would sit. Do you see that now? Now, obviously, he didn't just sit. He died, right? He was buried, right? And then he was raised the third day. Hallelujah. Amen. And then after he was raised from the dead, then he sat. Hallelujah. So, his sitting is a consequence of what he did in redemption. Do you understand that? His sitting is a consequence of what he accomplished in redemption. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, when he says, Jesus sat at the right hand of God. For those of you who are deep, I think you understand this much better. Right hand in the Bible does not mean right hand, left hand. Do you understand? For example, you know, he's in the middle, then he's at your right hand, right? Now she's at his left hand. So some said that they went to heaven. They died, then they went to heaven. Then when they got to heaven, they now saw a throne. Oh, no, they went to a throne room first. There has to be a throne room first now, for a throne to be, yeah. So they went to the throne room, and I'm guessing to the throne room, they saw a throne. And then there's a big throne in the middle. Then there's somebody sitting at the right hand, and there's a bed that is sitting at the left hand side. So the son is the one who is sitting at the right hand, because so they take it literally. So the son is at the right hand, and then the bed, the dove that, as the end of Jesus, is now at the left hand side. Right hand in scripture refers to authority. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's the same thing that was done for Joseph in Egypt when, you know, Pharaoh kept him at his right hand. Right hand man means someone who has everything I have, I give to you. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Right hand means everything I have, I give to you. So when there is a right hand, obviously you won't see two thrones. Right hand means you only see one throne. Are you following what I'm saying? Because all authority is now given to one person. Do you understand what I just said? Men and brethren, are we together? Right hand would mean that all of the authority, or if I say I give him my right hand, it would mean that everything I have, I give to you. So I completely leave the picture. Do you get that? Now, it's only him you would see. Amen? That's if you are even taking it literally that in heaven there are thrones and people sitting down and all of that. But let's go on. Now, Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. It says, and Jesus came and said to them, and spoke to them, saying, all authority. Do you see that? Yeah. Do you see that? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Did you see that? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the name of the Son, and Holy Ghost. KJV says that, and NKJV too. Now 20, knowing, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. So, he comes after he dies, he's buried, and he's raised from the dead. Okay? Now remember, after he's raised from the dead, what happens to him? Does he just die, and after he dies, you know, he just is raised from the dead, he goes, you know, he's buried for our sins, and then he's raised from the dead, and after he's raised from the dead, what happens is he just disappears. You don't see him again. Is that what happened? He was given all authority. Right? Now, imagine if I come to meet you and I say that, I'm now the president of Nigeria. Don't you like that? I don't want to be. This country is blessed. Now, okay, I'm now the president of Nigeria. Okay? And I say, I'm supposed to do something at Lagos. Alright? I'm president of Nigeria. I'm supposed to do something at Lagos. And I say, go. Did you get my illustration? I'm the president of Nigeria. I'm supposed to do something at Lagos. And I say, you go. What will be your next question? Are we thinking together? What will be your next question? Because I'm the president and I'm telling you to go. I say, all authority has been given to me in Nigeria. Now you go. If all authority has been given to me, who should go? Who should go? Why are we slow this morning? What's going on? Who should go? I should be the one to go. But then I come to meet you and then I tell you that you go. That is, I'm now giving you what I have. Hallelujah. Praise God. So Jesus Christ dies. Now remember something, that Jesus Christ did not die for himself. That is what should be on your mind every time you hear that. I remember I said this last year when we looked at the glories that should follow. I said, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is not good news to us. Now don't get scared and run away from this place. I will explain what I mean by that. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is not good news to us. If Jesus Christ died, he was buried, he was raised, and that's all. You know, that's not good news to us. Because we will now have to ask, who did he die for? Right? Who was he buried for? And why was he raised? Did you get that? So, he died our death. That is the good news. Hallelujah. He went to Sheol, the place of the dead. He was buried with our burial. That is good news. Do you understand? He was raised, you know, from the dead, and we were raised together with him. That is the good news. Do you understand? So, the reason why the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is good news to every man who believes the gospel is because those events tell you what happens to you when you believe in him. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8 verse 29, it says that Jesus Christ is the firstborn, we made him to be conformed to the image of the Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, firstborn does not mean first child. Amen. You know, Jesus Christ is the firstborn. Peter is the secondborn. Who will be the thirdborn? Judas? Amen. Or Judas will be the lastborn. Amen. Now, firstborn does not mean, you know, the first child. First one actually is a Greek called Prototokos. 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 It means a prototype, a model son. Okay? So we will look at Jesus to know what would happen to his brethren. Do you get that? Did you get that? So Jesus Christ would be an image or an example of what will happen to anyone that believes in him. Is that clear? Is that clear? So Jesus Christ dies, he is buried, and he is raised from the dead to show man that death is not the end for men. Hallelujah. Everyone who believes in the message of the gospel has hope of life. Hallelujah. Why? Because the model man was raised from the dead by the power of the Lord Jesus. Oh, pardon me, by the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Why is this power? Anyways. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So Jesus dies, he is buried, and he is raised the third day. And not only that, he is given all authority. So if his death was our death, right? Do you agree? His burial was ours, right? His resurrection was ours, right? Do you agree? So who is his authority for? Calm down before you answer. So that I don't set a trap for you and you fall into a trap. Amen. Who is his authority for? Hallelujah. He died our death, right? He was buried our burial. He was raised, you know, for us. Now, he's given all authority. And by saying, go, that lets you know that the way he's given all authority. The way he exercises that authority is through his church. Do you see that? So, the authority of Jesus was given to his church. Hallelujah. So, it is through us that that authority would be exercised. Praise God. Praise God. Now, observe verse 20. He says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, obviously, this speaks of identification, right? It speaks with oneness. So, Jesus Christ, with all authority, now becomes one with his church. We are not one with the man of Galilee. It was powerful, right? He went about doing good, healing the sick. But we are not one with that Jesus. We are one with the Jesus that was raised from the dead and is now glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, in his glorification, we have our identification. Do you get that? In his glorification, we have our identification. He exercises his authority through his church. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Hallelujah. As God has said, I will dwell in you and walk among, I will dwell in them. Do you see that? And do what? Walk among them. I will be their God. And they shall be my people. So, God walks in those who have believed the gospel. Okay? He walks in his church. Do you see that? His exercising of his authority is now through the church. Do you see that? Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Verse 15, it says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. So what he did in his resurrection is that he gave his name to everyone who believes. Hallelujah. Now the name of Jesus is not the five-letter word. I hope you know that by now. The name of Jesus is not J-E-S-U-S. You know, you used to cut cake, you used to open house, you used to launch book, you used to do all of that. The name of Jesus actually refers to his authority. in Bible, when we say name, in the Greek, it refers to authority. In the Hebrew as well, it refers to the authority of the person. So when it says, in my name, they will cast out demons, it already lets you know that whatever they will do in his authority, right? Right? So obviously, the authority of Jesus was given to those who believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you would realize something now, okay? That the sitting of Jesus, or what we can say, the right hand of God, all authority, right? Is actually the sitting of victory. He overcame. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ has all authority today. And that came about by his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, therefore, we can start from verse 5, it's fine. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now verse 9, therefore, God also has highly exalted him, and given him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, not at the mention, do you see that? At the name of Jesus, that is at this authority, right? Every knee should bow, pardon me, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory and praise, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. So he lets you know that there is nowhere that Jesus is not Lord. He says, above the earth, on the earth, and even underneath the earth. Okay? So the Son is the one seated. Did you see that now? The Son is the one seated. Hallelujah. So, and in the natural, when we say authority, or when we say power, power, might, somebody has to fight first to get that. Do you know that? Somebody has to go, now in the natural, we have, you know, somebody will go to another country and wage war against them, you know, and win a battle. And in winning the battle, he seizes the king there, maybe he tells him, be ruling for me, I'll come back, or something like that, you know, he takes over their citadel and all of that. But somebody has to fight for authority or for victory to be won, right? Now, for Jesus, when we say Jesus Christ has victory, the way he fought was in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Do you understand that? So, his conquest is in what he did in 3 days. Hallelujah. His conquest is in what he did in 3 days. Now, see Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Hallelujah. It says, yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, obviously, we know who he who loved us. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Right? So, he who loved us is God. So, the love of God to man is demonstrated in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus for our sins. Okay? Did you get that? But now, observe something. The Bible now goes on to say that in the one who conquered, we are more than those who conquer. Do you see that? In the one who conquered, we are more than those who conquer. Now, this would make sense when you realize that everything that Jesus Christ did is for you. Right? Because remember, his conquest was what? How did Jesus fight? Did he go to hell and was punching his devil? Is that what he did? What did he do? He died. Come on. He died, right? He was buried. And then he was raised from the dead. Now, and we said that everything he did was not for himself, right? It is good news because what he did was for man, right? So now, having done all of that, he now is raised from the dead and is called victory. Victory over sin, right? Victory over death. Victory over the forces of darkness that could not hold him down in death, right? Now, having done all of that, Paul now lets us know that we are more than conquerors in him. Now, why are we more than conquerors? Very easy, because we didn't fight. Hallelujah. Praise God. In the natural, man would need to fight. Man would need to wage war. Man would need to, you know, go conquer a nation, take a ruler and all of that. But when it comes to the new creation, when it comes to believers in Christ Jesus, we don't do that. We rest in the victory of another. Hallelujah. So just like his death was for us, his burial was for us, his resurrection was for us, the victory he won over death is also for us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So we can say in Christ, we are literally spoiled. Because we didn't do anything. Amen. So it would be funny for a believer to try to find anything to boast in himself. Right? Because you were dead in sin, you could not do anything. Jesus Christ went, he fought the battle, he won, and he says, take the victory. You exercise it. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he exercises his authority today through his church. Do you understand that? Say his victory is for us. His victory is for us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And then we said that he is seated today. And observe, he is no longer fighting. Amen. We are not identified with the Jesus who went to hell. Amen. Amen. Do you understand what I just said? We are not identified with the Jesus that went to hell and remained there. You know, if he had gone there and he remained there, we cannot be identified with that Jesus. We are not even identified with Jesus that went through Galilee, you know, healing the sick, raising the dead, as good as he was. We are not identified with that Jesus. We are identified with the Jesus that has been raised from the dead, conquered sin and death, and, you know, is seated at the right hand of God today. That is the Jesus we are identified with. Hallelujah. Praise God. So in him, we are no longer fighting as well. So when a man believes in the gospel, he enters into a ceaseless lifetime of victory. Hallelujah. It's a reality in Christ. He doesn't fight. He doesn't war. He doesn't do anything. Stepping into a room and they say, make you step into this room. All you have here is victory. That's what he gave us. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's what he gave us. Hallelujah. So in Christ, the man who comes in Christ comes into a lifetime of ceaseless victory. Hallelujah. See, I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. I have a lifetime of ceaseless victory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So he died, he's buried, he's raised, and he says go. Okay? He says go. And authority is authority. Amen. Authority is authority. It's just like, you know, you live in an estate where, you know, it's frequently robbed. People rob your estate frequently. And then, you know, how many of you have seen Despicable Me 1? What do you watch? Baba Suwe? That's a joke. Now, okay, in Despicable Me, you know, this guy, there's a house that, you know, they kept security everywhere. I don't feel like we are relating. What can I use that relatable? Okay. Let's say you keep in your house, you keep laser beams. You know knife. You know knife. You know the way knife cuts a person. Now, scientists have made light that cuts a person that way. Do you understand what I just said? Arauco. So, they've made lights that cut people, sha. That's how the light is. Now, you surround your house with laser beams, okay? And then, you know, the first time the people came, they said, get down on your knees. They took your car, they took your money, they took everything. Second time again, they came, they took your car. There's somebody that said, I know somebody who installs laser beams in houses. Just come and let me install it for you. And then they install it for you. Something that cuts somebody like knife. And then the next time, you just hear, they are here again. They are robbing the estate. You know, the security man calls you from the gate. They are coming. What would you do? You say, oh my God, I'm going to be robbed. Is that what you do? What do you do? Hallelujah. Praise God. Because you now know that something has changed. Right? So, What God did in Christ is that He gave us ceaseless victory. Do you understand what I'm saying? Ceaseless victory. That a man that comes in Christ never has to bother about life again. Hello? Do you understand what I just said? A man who comes in Christ doesn't have to bother about sin, doesn't have to bother about death, doesn't have to bother about the devil. In Christ, God has done a final, finished, internal, complete work, victory. Hallelujah! Praise God! For sin, for death, for the devil, God has made it impossible for the man in Christ to ever be defeated by them again. Hallelujah! Praise God! Amen! Now, obviously, you will not be scared. In fact, you might even laugh. Right? Yes, now, the reason for your laughter is what? Authority. Abi? You know what you now have. Hallelujah. So, is it becoming clear to you now? Is it becoming clear to you? So, you would now understand something. That, what happened now? Let's see something very quickly. Oh, Father. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, I'm a victor in Christ. I'm a victor in Christ. I have victory in Christ forevermore. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Are we there? It says, For by one man's offense, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Will what? Reign in life. Say, I reign in life. I reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. I'm in charge. Come on, I'm in charge. I don't have to fight. I don't have to fight. I'm just relaxed in the place of prayer, in the place of power, in the place of power. Hallelujah. So, Romans chapter 8 verse 37 now lets us in. He does the fight, right? Or he fights the fight. Amen. And after he fights the fight, amen, then he gives us his victory. Not as the one who is fighting, but the one who has conquered. So, you don't need to die. Someone has died already. Someone fought for you. He now gave you authority. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Now, let me ask another question. I feel illustrations come, they bring this back home better. Imagine in school, how many of us are still in school? We are still studying in school. Okay, quite a number of us. Now, imagine there's a lecturer who keeps disturbing you. Amen. Keeps disturbing you. He says, come to my office. If you don't come to my office, I'll fail you. I would, you know, he threatens you and all of that. And, you know, I almost said Buhari. Okay, let's say Trump. Trump now tells you that, okay, I give you the entire US military. Why are you smiling? Or you think it's not possible? Oh, which president do we like in the world now? It's like we don't like presidents. There's a strange spirit moving in the world. We don't like presidents again. Trump. So, you know, he says, take the military, US military, and, you know, they will defend you and all of that. Now, would you ever be scared of that lecturer again? Imagine the lecturer calls you, say, yes, come to my office by 12 a.m. before you say, ah, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. I'm on my way. And then he calls you the next time. What will you do? Amen. Hallelujah. Because you know that there is now authority, right? Now, so this is what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ died, he was buried, he was raised, he has all authority. Then he now gave you that authority, or that person of his that fought, won the victory, right? He now gave it to you as your very nature. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it will be like, let's say, when you show up to that lecturer, the entire US military shows up. Do you understand? Because what he has done is that he has given you that authority, that victory he won, as your very nature. Say, I have a nature of victory. I have a nature of victory. I always win. I always win. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So he gave us that nature of victory. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 18. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Verse 18. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all, now pay close attention, under his feet, and gave him head over all to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all, and you who are dead in sins and trespasses. Now, he says he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things. To who? To who? Now, the word to here is a word in the Greek that means for the benefit of. For the benefit of. Hallelujah. For the benefit of. So, the victory he won was for whose benefit? Whose benefit, oh men and brethren? Whose benefit? So, who benefits from his victory? Who exercises victory? Who exercises his authority? Hallelujah. So, in Psalm chapter 2, when it says that he that sits in the heaven shall laugh. Do you remember that? He that sits in the heaven shall laugh. And he lets us know. Now, see chapter 2. Of Ephesians chapter 2. And he made, and you made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which, let's jump down to verse 4. That was needed now. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Now he didn't stop there, right? Verse 6. And raised us up together. Hallelujah. And made us sit together in the heavenly in Christ. Do you see that? So we are seated with him. That is, we now have the same authority. And the believer is now supposed to think upon this fact, this reality, till it causes him to be drunk. Did you get what I just said? He's supposed to think on this reality till it causes his heart to rejoice and be glad. That is, you don't need an external influence to cause you to laugh or cause you to rejoice as a believer. What God has done in Christ is an internal reason to forever be joyful. Do you see that? What God has done in Christ for us is an eternal reason to forever be joyful. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, in closing, Ecclesiastes chapter 10. I must say Ecclesiastes. We are too polite. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19. Hallelujah. Are we there? Oh, pardon me, verse 19. Yes. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19. It says, a feast is made for laughter, and wine makes merry. Remember this? But money answers everything. Now, when it comes to a feast, there are things that characterizes a feast, right? For example, in Israel, you have a Passover, where they celebrate their deliverance from Egypt, and you know, they have the unleavened bread, they have the Passover lamb, the wine, and bitter herbs, and all of that. Then they celebrate all of that. Then after the Passover feast, they have a 7 weeks feast. Do you understand? They call it the Feast of 7 weeks. Alright? Then after 7 weeks, they now have Pentecost. Pentecost is 50 days after the Passover. So, it now lets you know something. That a feast, when you see a feast, now Pentecost is a feast, right? Now it says, when you see a feast, what goes on in a feast is merry. Okay? It's made for laughter, and wine makes merry. Hallelujah. Amen? So you go through the Feast of Weeks, and then on Pentecost, you now have the Feast of Celebration. Okay? The feast where you are glad. Hallelujah. Amen? Please follow closely. Now, imagine I say I'm having a birthday party. Okay, I say I'm going to be 15 years old, so come for my birthday party and oh, let's just have a good time and all of that. Then you get to the party. Let's say you get the party's supposed to start by 8. You get there 7:30, and then you know you just settle in and you know it's 8. And when it's 8, you know, I get to the venue. You know, all of us get to the venue, and we are all just seated and looking at ourselves. 8 passes. Maybe you say, okay, well, maybe it's because it's 8, yeah. So you wait 8:30, 9, 9:30, 10. We're just looking at ourselves like this. You know, nobody's smiling. Nobody's saying anything. Nobody's, you know, no food, no music. We're just all looking at ourselves, all looking gloomy and sad and all of that. And then when is, let's say, the party is supposed to end by 12. So I say, by 12, I say, okay, thank you for coming. It's time to go. Party's over. It's time to go. What would you do? Or what would you think that was? And so people even start praying. Maybe they went to a cult and they've taken something from them spiritually. Amen? Because a feast is made for what? Hey, a feast is made for what? Celebration, abi? Laughter. Hallelujah. So what they call rice and stew very plenty. Amen, RSVP. So when you go to party, there should be laughter. There should be merry. There should be joyfulness, right? Right? So a feast is made for, now look at something. It's not a coincidence that the very first time the spirit within was made evidence in the church was on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost is a feast of celebration in Israel. Do you see that? It's a feast of celebration, is a feast of joy. You know, after going through the 7 weeks is like you're passing through the wilderness, and then Pentecost is now a feast of celebration. It marks a new beginning. Okay? Are we together? Did you get that? So it marks a new beginning for Israel. So it is seen as a feast of celebration, a feast of laughter. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, it will make sense now. Hebrews chapter 12. Hallelujah. Are we following so far? Verse 22. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the great assembly, and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Now, question. Is this referring to when we die and go to heaven, or is it present day reality? Should we read it again? Okay. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, and to the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. So, present day reality or future hope? You know, next time I'll ask you. Why? What was the reason for your answer? Are we going to Mount Zion? Look at what you are reading. Look at verse 22. Look at it very well. Is the heavenly Jerusalem something we are looking forward to? Let's say we die and then, you know, we finally go to heaven. I think there's an hymn like that, if I'm not wrong. We are marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. Oh, we are marching upward to Zion. Abi, that's the two you have to put there. That's beautiful, you know, city of God. So in their mind, there is a city in the clouds. Okay? As you go up, you finally eat the city. Amen? You pass Jupiter, you pass Saturn, you pass Mars and all of that. You get to Pluto and then maybe even some galaxies that we don't know. Shout up. So as you are going, you now finally see one bright city. You know, the floor is made with gold. There is a fine, you know, just so fine. You know, invite somebody. Oh, let's leave that. Now, Is that what the writer of Hebrews is saying here? Huh? He says, you have come. Hallelujah. And then he calls it the General Assembly. What? The Church of the Firstborn. So can we say that, okay, who are those who make up the church? Those who have believed, right? So can we say when a man believes, he enters into the church? He comes to the church, right? Can we say a man that believes has come into the church? And by entering into the church, he has come into Mount Zion. So is Mount Zion a present day reality or something we are looking forward to? Are we going to an heavenly city? Think very well before you answer me. Amen. So that I don't set a trap for you that you enter. Are we going somewhere? Think. Are we going somewhere? Is the hope of Christianity that one day we will escape somewhere? Or everything that Christianity is here and now? Answer me now. Amen. Some people, what's going on in their minds? I can tell you what's going on. Because when they were born, they were taught from age 5 that they are going somewhere. Amen. He says, you have come. Hallelujah. What is you have come, please? You have come. Amen. So we are there. Hallelujah. Say, I am in Mount Zion. I am in the heavenly city, which is the church of the firstborn. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, see something he says here. He says, the General Assembly. Do you see that in verse 23? Did you see that? The General Assembly. Now, that word General Assembly is a horrible translation. If I was to give this translation a mark, I would give it 0 over 10. It's horrible. The word in the Greek is the word Panegyris. P-A-N-E-G-U-R-I-S. P-A-N-E-G-U-R-I-S. Panegyris. The E has an accent on top of it. Now, Panegyris refers to a festival. Hallelujah. A gathering of people to celebrate. Hallelujah. So Mount Zion is called a celebration ground. A hub of rejoicing. Hallelujah. Praise God. So now Mount Zion was used as a type of the church. Look at Galatians chapter 4 quickly as we close. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 verse 23. It says, but he who is born of the born woman was born according to the flesh, and but he of the free woman through promise, which things are symbolic for these two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar, is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and then corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is in bondage with her children, but the Jerusalem above is free. Hallelujah. Which is the mother of who? Us all. So Mount Zion is like the headquarters in Jerusalem. Okay? So he uses Jerusalem as a type, a figure of the church. Do you see that? Hello. Did you see that? Obadiah chapter 1. Obadiah chapter 1. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Obadiah chapter 1 verse 17. Are we there? Are we there? This is a very prominent verse. If you've been in Christendom for about the next 10 years, you should know this verse. And you should know the kind of services they use these verses for. Abi? Do you know? If you don't know, we can guess when you were saved. You are still a babe in Christ. Hallelujah. Now, verse 17. It says, but on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. Okay? And there shall be holiness. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Now, is this a verse to use to say that in the church we will be doing deliverance service? So they will say, brethren, on Mount Zion, not Zion, Zion, amen, there shall be deliverance. You shall hold your head, put your right hand on your head right now, carry one leg up. Are you here with your holy oil? Are you here with your deliverance candle? Or what else did they do again? It's been a while, I can't remember now. Deliverance can do handkerchief, all sorts. If I spit, water, everything. Sand, stone. Now I say, okay, you know, bring all of that to church. I want to deliver you. Because the scripture says that in Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. Is Obadiah chapter 1 verse 17 saying that when you get to Mount Zion, you will see them delivering people? Is that what Obadiah chapter 1 verse 17 is saying? That you get to Mount Zion, then you see them delivering people, then they will not be holiness after they've been delivered. Is that what he's saying? I'll help you. When he says on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, that's a bad translation. Okay? In the Hebrew, it's actually referring to people. It's not referring to an action or a noun, the noun of deliverance. It's not saying in Mount Zion there shall be the act of delivering people. The word in the Hebrew is actually there shall be the delivered ones. Okay? On Mount Zion, there shall be what? The delivered ones, or those that have escaped. Hallelujah! Praise God! There shall be the delivered ones, and there shall be holy. Now, there shall be holiness as well, is a bad translation. Holiness there is, there shall be, and these ones that have been delivered will now be called holy. Did you get that? So, on Mount Zion, there shall be those who have escaped, and these ones who have escaped will now be holy, set apart, saints. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, this is not talking about deliverance service. This is a reality in Christ. Do you understand that? This is a reality of the church right now. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, he says that he has delivered us from the authority of darkness, right? And has translated us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He translated us from the kingdom of darkness into where? The kingdom of his dear son, or the son of his love. Hallelujah. Amen. So what happens in Christ is a deliverance. Do you understand what I just said? Hello? Hello? Did you get what I just said? You don't get saved to be delivered. Getting saved is the deliverance. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God! Amen? So, a man who puts faith in Christ Jesus is rescued from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. He's not just rescued and left to be roaming about, you know, so that sin can come and take him again. No, he is rescued and then he is translated. That is, the authority that he, remember, it was under the authority of darkness, right? Now, he's now under the authority of the son of his love. Do you get that? So, does a believer need deliverance? Does a believer need deliverance? On Mount Zion, there shall be what? There shall be what? And this delivered are who? The saints, right? Hallelujah. Amen. So, what God has done in Christ for us is now called celebration. It's called festival. The General Assembly. It's called festival. You know, an endless rejoicing, an endless laughing, an endless merrymaking. So we can say that the church is a celebration ground. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, just like the way we say, what are the things that goes on in church? You know, in the church, men are saved, right? In the church, men are grown up spiritually. In the church, men are filled. In the church, men are healed. We can also say that another thing that goes on in the church is rejoicing. Hallelujah. Rejoicing is a reality in the church. Do you get that? The church is called a festival place. Amen. Now, if this makes you angry, I'm sorry. Don't worry, we'll soon start singing hymns again. Oh, you didn't get that. It's fine. Now, a church is called celebration. Hallelujah. I remember what we saw. A feast is made for what? Laughter. So what should be in a feast? Laughter, right? Merrymaking, right? Rejoicing, right? What is the church called? Celebration ground. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ has given us an endless reason to always be laughing. An endless... See, it's not that there's money in your pocket too. Amen. It's not that immediately you get saved. You know, your phone just rings. Just open your phone and just see $10 billion alerts on your phone. You know, just say, glory to God. Hallelujah. No. It means that sometimes there will not be money in your account. It means that sometimes things will not go well, right? I'm not cursing you that things will not go well in your life. Don't be scared. This is life. Amen. Things happen, right? It doesn't mean that, you know, you make it, you give a, you, I almost say give your life to Jesus. You see, something, the thing is still there. It has not gone very well. It's still here somewhere. Oh, you didn't get that. Well, maybe next session we'll pray that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you can get my jokes. Not just the word now, then my jokes too. Because how will I make you joke and you not laugh? You know what I said? I'm dry. I will deliver you unto Satan. Amen. Now, what was I saying? I lost my train of thought. What was I saying? Before I said this, what was I saying? It's fine. It's fine. Okay. Now, it's not that everything will be rosy, 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 rosy. Everything will just be good, 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 good. But in Christ, amen, God has given us a reason to forever be happy, regardless of whether things are good or not. You see what I'm saying? So, some believers, you see them, you know, things are not going well. They you just checked your result, you know, is a 4-unit course, and you see 10. You know what that means. And then, you know, you are just bothered thinking, hey, extra year, all of that. You are just bothered, you know, and all of that. Hey, that is no reason to get sad. Now, I'm not disputing the fact that something bad has just happened. What I'm letting you to know is that what God did in Christ is greater than circumstances that show up in our daily life. Do you understand what I'm saying? So whether you see 10 or you see 100, we laugh. Hallelujah! Praise God! Whether you see 10 or you see 100, we are rejoicing. We are rejoicing. Hallelujah! Praise God! Amen. Whether the account reads $100,000, whether it reads 5 naira, you know, the account is so bad that it's already red. We are laughing. Hallelujah! Praise God! In Christ, what God did is that He gave us a reason to be happy forever. Hallelujah! Praise God! Glory! Hallelujah! Praise God! So joy is our reality. Joy is our reality. Joy is our reality. Hallelujah! Praise God! Amen! Men for laughter! Men for laughter! Men for laughter! Hallelujah! Praise God! Amen! Men for laughter every time. Who do you think you are? You know, something happens, you just get angry, you get sad, you know, people, you are doing ministry, people betrayed you. Or you are doing ministry, resources are not coming for ministry. You get sad, you start thinking. Or you try to get somebody healed. The person says, leave me alone, Charlie, leave me, you get depressed. You try to get somebody healed, the person gets sick times two and dies. You are scared, hey, I know about, what do you think God did for you in Christ? Endless rejoicing! Hallelujah! It never stops! It never stops! Hallelujah! It never stops! Now, I'm not saying that, okay, you know, you try to get somebody healed and the person doesn't get healed and I say, hey, glory! Obviously, you know that there's work to be done. Amen? But hey! Rejoicing! Hallelujah! Glory! Rejoicing! That's what God has made us in Christ. People will rejoice every time. Hallelujah! And if, now, look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Oh, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Ephesians, hallelujah. Chapter 5, verse 18. Ah, glory. Glory, glory. Oh, glory. Verse 18, are we there? It says, do not be drunk with wine, right? In which is dissipation, but what? Filled with the Spirit. Be what? Filled with the Spirit. Now, some people have taken this to say that the Bible is saying, drink, but don't be drunk. If that's what you saw there, there's something wrong with you. Amen? He's trying to, you know what he does? He uses a simile. You know what a simile is? He uses the way a person will take alcohol. And alcohol will get him drunk. Dissipated. Amen? You know, have you seen a dissipated person before? Do you know what I mean of excess? Do you know me of excess? Have you seen somebody who has taken alcohol and fallen into the stream before, falling into the gutter? That's excess, that's dissipation. Now, it now lets you know that the same way that happens to a man who has taken alcohol and is intoxicated, you know, the effects of the alcohol takes over his senses and is no longer himself. That is the way you should let the Spirit influence you. So that means that when you are filled with Spirit, you will laugh. Hallelujah. you will laugh. And remember, you are not laughing, just laughing. Your laughter is not just an ordinary laughter. Like, you know, I can bring a comedian up here and it will crack some jokes for you and you will laugh. Well, you are canon anyways if I do that and you laugh. But you know, I can bring a comedian here for you and you know, you crack jokes and you laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. You know, that's not what Paul is saying here. Do you know what I'm saying? This is laughter that is from a place of victory. This is laughter that is from heaven. Do you understand what I'm saying? So in Christ, we laugh from heaven. Heaven is our reality now. And in heaven is joy. In heaven is celebration. The heavenly Jerusalem, remember? Mount Zion, right? The church of the firstborn, right? The general assembly, the celebration ground, right? So we can laugh. We can laugh. Hallelujah. We can laugh.